And you might like to turn in your Bible to the book of Romans and chapter 1. Romans chapter 1. And perhaps we can look to God in a word of prayer. And our Father in God, we look to you. We've opened thy word, God, Spirit of God, to honor thy word, to help us understand, that we would have the benefit of being in your presence with understanding, and that we'd be able to go, God, and with thanksgiving, proceed forward in fellowship with thee. So you got to help us in every way. Just thanks. In Christ's name, amen. And in our exercise up at the moment, and I would remind you that the God, as to his person, is Father, is Son, is God the Holy Spirit. Three distinct persons, as it were, and yet just one nature, essence, being. Just one. One God. Found in a unique, his unique person. So you have to understand he's unique, to say the least. So, having said that and keeping that in mind, and recognizing that the reason we have, reason he came to earth was to what? To make possible. He died on the cross to make possible all human beings to be born. They could never be born if he didn't die. His birth makes possible your birth and mine. I need to understand that. It isn't about us getting to God. It's about God getting to us. Christmas. I need to understand that. You would never know it if we buy gifts and all that, all those things. We do that. Now, having said that little bit, an exercise. And I'll try to do it. I'll do it. So turn the pages if you can. And you're going to lock it in from Genesis to Revelation. One truth. Without faith, it's impossible to please him. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is. He, two letters, is. He is right now. God. Right now. And you can't know it because he's invisible. He's different. Wonderfully different. The same as all the rest of the things that we know. Global positioning and all these different things. All kinds of things are existing right now in the room that we have no idea of. Unless we have the equipment to pick it up, we don't know it. God. And keep in mind as we do this, a little bit, that your belief doesn't make anything true. Say, I believe this, and I believe that. That doesn't make anything true. Your belief doesn't make something true. You need that. Well, I believe. But you can believe. You can believe. You can believe that whatever you want. You can believe that the flowers down below here are a kangaroo. You want to, oh, but they aren't a kangaroo. You can believe it, though. So, exercise. Romans in chapter 1, God speaking to us humans, and God created all of us in his image and likeness. So, just not, try to do a lot in a little time, but get the message. You can't miss it. Romans chapter 1, verse 8, 19. 1 and 19. Because that which may be known of God is manifest, made public, clear, easy to understand, easy to see, is made manifest. Where? In them, in their head and heart. For the reason it is in them isn't because of us humans. For God hath showed it unto them. It's God's doing. God created us. And whether you live in the Australia, in the Sahara Desert, wherever you live, whatever your culture, China, India, wherever you want to go, God is going to go and deal with the heart of the little boy or girl that's born and let them know he's God. In a godless society, God is going to let the little boy or girl that's born know he's God. In this godless, dark world, that's what he's going to do. Now, what you do with it after that? Now, verse 20, what did they do? They had this knowledge. For, verse 20, the invisible things of him from the creation of the world are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even his eternal power and Godhead, deity, Father, Son, Holy Ghost. He's unique, so that they are without excuse. There is no excuse. All creation, and I've shared it 1,000 times with us, with each other. I don't know anything you can study. I don't know any subject you can study on earth and not come up with God. I just don't know it. Nuclear fusion, whatever you want to do, you have to come up with, well, boy, this just didn't happen. These laws, these truths, these wonderful things, they're awesome. And only God can make a flower, a flower. Only God can make the bug to nourish that flower. The right bug for the right flower, at the right time and the right way, to keep all those flowers. Now, so therefore, they are without excuse. Because, why? Because that when they knew God, they glorified him not as God, neither were thankful, but became vain in their imaginations, and their foolish heart was darkened. Professing themselves to be wise, they became fools. And as we're reading, verse after verse, Just do what we just read. Because that which may be known, not of an it, of God. God, it's going to say, God, 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 God. When are you going to say, no? Who else are we talking about? God. In the beginning, Genesis 1:1. In the beginning, God. He starts off with who he is. I am. You got to believe who I am by faith. Because you can't see me. And I sense everything I created is in the middle of me. You're going to have to just understand I'm God. And you don't give me anything else. God, how about confusion? Where's Jesus? Where's the Spirit of God? Where's all the... God said, I am God. I alone am God. Watch it. Now, picking up, please. So God, verse 21, God, 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 God. Keep reading it. Verse 23, who changed the glory of the incorruptible God into an image made like to corruptible man, to birds, to four-footed beast, and creeping things. Now, go over to Genesis, and just taking one thing to see, so you see the consistency. Genesis chapter 17. And Genesis 17, may I go to verse 1. God introducing himself. Remember, with Noah, Genesis 6, you don't have to turn there. Noah walked with who? Noah walked with God. That's what he did. Abraham, chapter 17, verse 1. And when Abram was 90 years old and 9, the Lord appeared to Abram and said unto him, I am the Almighty God. Walk before me in my presence, and be thou perfect, complete with your whole heart. What are you doing, Noah? What are you doing, Abraham? We're walking before God. We're in the presence of God. Chapter Exodus. Go next door, Exodus, and chapter 3. In Exodus chapter 3, remember God introduces himself to Moses at the burning bush. Moses is 80 years old, and he's now ready to go and fulfill his purpose on planet Earth. And therefore, going to chapter Exodus 3, sliding over if I can, picking up please, in verse 6. Now God's telling him, take your shoes off your feet, verse 3, 4, and 5. Verse 6, Exodus 3, 6. Moreover, the Lord said, I am the God of thy father, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, the God of Jacob. And Moses hid his face, for he was afraid to look upon God. God, right. God in his awesomeness. Awesomeness. Go over if I can. In that verse 14. And remember, Moses said, who am I going to say you are, God, to the people of Israel and to Moses and to Pharaoh in Egypt? Exodus 3:14. And God said unto Moses, I am that or who? I am that or who? I am who I am. Who are you? I'm God. No, I'm God. You're always God. That's right. You can't do any business with me without being called. Understand, you're doing business with me and I'm God. Period. God. We aren't talking about some little God, here's Jesus and here's this and here's that, and then somewhere God's up beyond that. No. Over to Exodus and chapter 25, since you're here. Exodus 25. Israel was in the wilderness, three tribes around the tabernacle, the tent. Now they needed to know God in a wonderful way. So God, how did you help them understand your wonderful person? And you know the Ark of the Covenant and the mercy seat in the tabernacle? It was smack dab in the middle of all 12 tribes. So when you come over to chapter 25, and if I can, in verse 8. Let them make me a sanctuary. What for? That I may dwell among them. I'm going to be among them. I'm not in them, I'm among them. I'm going to be God in the middle of them. Over to verse 21. And thou shalt put the mercy seat above upon the ark. And in the ark thou shalt put the testimony that I shall give thee. And there I will meet with thee, and I will commune with thee from above the mercy seat, and from between the two cherubim, which are upon the ark of the testimony of all things which I will give thee in commandment unto the children of Israel. I'm going to do a wonderful, wonderful thing, God said. And I'm going to be, they don't know me, but day and night, cloud by day, fire by night, you're going to know I'm right smack dab in the middle of you. How far do we have to go to find you? Yeah, I'm right here. Over, if you would please, to the book of Isaiah again. To the great prophets, and let them say it to us again. If I can. Isaiah and chapter 43. 43 Isaiah. 43 Isaiah. May I go? Picking up, please. Sliding down, verse 7. Everyone that is called by my name, for I have created him for my glory. I have formed him. Yea, I have made him. Made him, so that what? To know thee. Like in verse 1. But now thus saith the Lord that created thee, O Jacob, He that formed thee, O Israel, fear not, for I have redeemed thee. I have called thee by thy name. Thou art mine. Verse 10. What? You have a relationship. I want you to be my witnesses, to witness, to tell who I am to the nations. Israel was to know God in a most unique, wonderful way, and to let God be their God for all the nations who have gods and idolatry to know God. Verse 10, you are my witnesses, saith the Lord, and my servant, whom I have chosen. Why? That you may know and believe me and understand that I am he. You guys, he is. That I am he. Before me, there was no God formed, neither shall there be after me. I, even I, the Lord, am beside me. There is no Savior. Verse sliding along. Over to chapter 44. Just turn the pages, and God's going to keep saying it. I'm the only God. There is no other. Isaiah 44, in verse 6. Thus saith the Lord, the King of Israel, and his Redeemer, the Lord of hosts. I am the first, I am the last. Beside me, there is no God. There is no God. None whatsoever. So now, Isaiah 45. And you pick up again, which you know. And in Isaiah 45, if I can, I'll read verse 14. Thus saith the Lord to all the nations during the millennium, they're going to see the God of Israel, Israel's God, and they're going to understand God. Israel has a unique relationship to God for all the nations to have the same relationship if they would believe. Verse 14, thus saith the Lord, the laborer of Egypt, the merchandise of Ethiopia, and the Sabaeans, men of stature, shall come over thee, over unto thee. They shall be thine. They shall come after thee. In chains they shall come over, and they shall fall down unto thee. They shall make supplication unto thee. Why? Because the Jews are looking to God, trusting God, and God is to be their God. Saying, what is the world going to say to Israel? Surely God is in thee, and there is none else. There is no God. There is no God. I'm the only God there is. Period. So therefore, having said that and keeping that in mind, and sliding over, if I can, down to verse 22. 45:22. Look unto me and be saved, all the ends of the earth. I am God, for I am God. I am God, and there is no other. Verse 23. I have sworn by myself, the word is gone out of my mouth in righteousness and shall not return, that unto me every knee shall bow and every tongue shall swear. They're all going to have to honor me one way or the other, here or there. You're going to honor me. So everything. So therefore, in looking to God's, you know, God, what are you going to do? God is born in Bethlehem of Judea. The birth maybe unique, you know, all these little things, wonderful things, special birth, sinless. He's the sinless Son of God to be the Savior, to go to the cross and die, to pay for the sin of all that are in Adam. That's us guys. And so the Lord Jesus Christ died to save, to pay the penalty for all that Adam did and all that we share that he did. He died for the sin of the world. To believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, then thou shalt be saved. Now, what did you do that for? It's a gift. I did it for you. Easy to see. First Peter, and chapter 3. And if I can. First Peter and chapter 3. and you will note. In 1 Peter chapter 3, picking up, please, God is going to go. Now, why did you die? Why? You went to die to bring God to us and us to God. That's why you died. You died to restore the relationship that was lost because of sin. The wages of sin is death, separation from God. You need to, and the gift of God is eternal life in Jesus Christ our Lord. We need to understand Christ came to pay the penalty, to restore the relationship. You could not be born physically. You could not be born because everyone, every human that enters this life, Christ has died for them. There's no human being born that is lost in the sense that permanently. God isn't going to let you be born on planet Earth. You're born to be saved. That's what Christmas is about. You're born to be saved. That's where he died. And therefore, so when we, to what? To bring us to God. Therefore, verse 18, 1 Peter 3 and 18, to bring us to God in a most wonderful, wonderful way. Now, and therefore I'll read it. For God, for Christ also hath once suffered for sins, the just for the unjust, that's us guys, that purpose he might bring us to, underline, God. That he might bring us to God, being put to death in the flesh, but quickened and made alive by the Spirit. The Spirit of God's wonderful ministry is to bring us to God. I am, the Lord Jesus said it, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to me, no one comes to the Father except by me. What are you doing, Christ? I went, was born to die. I died to make possible for me to be able to say to every whosoever, starting with Adam, Eve, Noah, Abraham, Jacob, all the way down, to start with every human being, you believe in the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved. That's what I did. That's why I did it. I gave them physical birth to have spiritual birth. Now, having said that little bit and keeping that in mind, if I can, so exercising that in a little different way. And by the way, while you're in Peter, turn a page over to chapter 2. While you're here, to remind yourself of what we just said, chapter 2, picking up, please, in verse 24. Who, Christ, who, his own self, bare our sins in his own body, where? On the tree, Calvary's cross. That purpose, we, being dead to sins, should live unto righteousness, by whose stripes you were healed. God's wonderful, wonderful going death, going to the cross. Now, another exercise. Go over with me to the Gospel of John, chapter 1. And chapter 1. And we keep it just as you turn to chapter 1. Just think of Israel, what the Ten Commandments, Deuteronomy, you don't have to turn there, chapter 5. And they didn't want to hear. You have a chapter 5 and you read all the statements about the whole event at Mount Sinai, the giving of the Ten Commandments, etc. And all you read them, and what do you read? The people heard God, G-O-D. God spoke to them directly. Who did? God did. Now, what did they do, having that communication? They stopped their ears and said, if we hear anymore, we'll die. So God, don't speak to us anymore. And he didn't. That was the wrong thing to say to God. Don't talk to me. Wrong thing to say. And therefore, Israel, there you are. But you turn God off. And they still have turned God off today, and they don't hear. They don't have an ear to hear yet. They will, but not yet. So therefore, exercise the Gospel of John. What are you going to tell us? Genesis 1:1, in the beginning, God, right? So now you're going to tell us about the Lord Jesus Christ born in Bethlehem of Judea. Yes. John chapter 1, verse 1. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word, what? Was God. God. Father, Son, Holy, He's God in His nature, essence of being. Therefore, the same was in the beginning with God. All things were made by Him. Without Him was not anything made that was made. The Word became flesh, verse 14, was born in Bethlehem of Judea, the sinless Son of God. And the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us. And we beheld His glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. God became flesh. That's what He did. Flesh, Hebrews 2, flesh and blood. That's what He became. Just like they did. Flesh and blood. He became like that. Who became like that? God did. We did all that illustration with the pear and the stuff that we did in Sunday school. So you got it. At least those that were here. You got that part. Now, so therefore, God, you're going to go and do a wonderful thing. In verse 18, and the Lord Jesus Christ is going to what? Explain God. No man has seen God. No one at any time. No, that's right. You can't see, smell, touch, taste God. He's God. How do you deal with Him? He's God. No man has seen God at any time. The only begotten Son, which is in the bosom of the Father, He hath declared, explained Him. God's going to make Himself clearly that He's God. He's the Savior. He's going to be born in Bethlehem of Judea. And you need to understand that it is He Himself. God Himself is going to be He's the only God and the only Savior. So therefore, He has to do the job to go to the cross to save us, because that was the whole plan in the first place, as we shared. Now, having said that a little bit, chapter 1, verse 10. Here's the Gospel of John, 21 chapters, John chapter 1, verse 10. The reaction to His birth in His 3 and 3rd years of public ministry. Verse 10, He was in the world, and the world was made by Him, and the world knew Him not. Remember what we did in Sunday school, Isaiah 53, verse 3. It was just an ordinary. You would walk right by Him. You wouldn't even know Him. Wow. He came unto the Jews, His own. His own received Him not. They rejected Him. They refused to let the man, the Christ, John the Baptist said, behold the Lamb of God that taketh away the sin of the world, and they didn't want to hear that. He came unto His own received Him not. But as many as received Him, to them gave He the power to become sons, children of God. Children of God, even to them that believe on His name. Wow. Now God, so we got to receive, right? Now let's see how it goes. Go over with me as you turn. Chapter 4. And in chapter 4, I'm picking up, if I can, verse 23. But the hour cometh, and now is, when the true worshipers shall worship the Father in spirit and in truth. For the Father seeketh such to worship Him. God is a spirit, and they that worship Him must worship in spirit and truth. So God, we've got to be saved spiritually to know and honor You, as we share together. You've got to get from AM to FM. Therefore, verse sliding if I can, over verse chapter 5. Oh, no, let me go a little further. Verse 25. The woman saith unto Him, I know the Messiah cometh, which is called Christ, the Messiah, the Anointed One. When he is come, he will tell us all things. Now, verse 26, Jesus saith unto her, I that speak unto thee am he. I'm standing in front of you. Gone. I'm standing in front of you. Watch, he's going to say it again and again. I'm standing in front of you. Ah, but that's true. Because there is no other way. And the whole world says, well, we don't believe in you, God. No. Now keep going. Over again. Over again, chapter 5 and verse 18. We read it earlier. Chapter 5, verse 18. Therefore the Jews sought the more to kill him. Why? Because he had not only broken the Sabbath, but said also that God was his Father, making, they understood. Us humans don't, but they did. They understood. If you say what you're saying, then you must be God. See, let me read it. The end of the verse, 18. But said unto them also that God was his Father, making himself equal with God. They knew, that's what they understood. They did, in an awesome kind of way. Chapter 9. And in chapter 9, picking up, please, in verse. You remember the blind man in the process, picking it up, and the blind God healed the blind man. Now, they gave an interrogation to test how he got his sight back. Chapter 10, verse 30. The man answered and said unto them, why herein is a marvelous thing, that you know not from whence he is, and yet he hath opened mine eyes. You are talking about, you don't even know where he's from. He opened my eyes. Do you understand not everyone can open your eyes? How come you teachers don't know that? If he could do it, then boy, like Nicodemus, no one can speak like you do and do what you do, he said, unless you be God. Now, sliding along, if I can, verse 31. Now we know that God heareth not sinners, but if any man be a worshiper of God and doeth his will, him he heareth. Since the world began, was it not heard that any man opened his eyes, that any man opened the eyes of one that was born blind? To this man were not, if this man were not of God, he would do nothing. They answered and said unto him, wast thou altogether born in sin? Doth thou teach us? But who are you to teach us, Mr. Blind Man? And they cast him out. And so the blind man was kicked out. Jesus 35. Jesus heard that he had been cast him out, and when he had found him, he said unto him, dost thou believe on the Son of God? And he answered and said, who is he, Lord, that I might believe in him? Verse 37. Jesus said unto him, thou hast both seen him, and it is he that talketh with thee. I'm standing right in front of you. I'm standing right in front of you. Over again, chapter 10. Our Lord Jesus, you know these. Chapter 10, here's the Jews. Picking up, please. I'll read it for the encouragement. Verse 27, 10, 27. My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. I give unto them eternal life. They shall never perish. Neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand. My Father, which gave them me, is greater than all. And no man is able to pluck them out of my Father's hand. By the way, I and my Father are one. We're one, one God. One essence, one nature, one being. God. We're gone. Now, and the response. Then the Jews took up stones again to stone him. And Jesus answered them and said, many good works have I showed you from my Father. For which of those works do you stone me? And the Jews answered him, saying, for a good work we stone thee not, but for blasphemy, and because that thou, being a man, just an ordinary human like us, makest thyself God. That's pretty clear. They understood that. You're telling us you're God. And he stood in front of the Bible and said, I am God. Now, so therefore, if I can, chapter 14. And in chapter 14, as you know, chapter 14, verse 6, Jesus saith unto him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. If you had known me, you should have known my Father. Also, I and my Father are one. You should have known my Father. Also, from henceforth, you know him. You know him now and have seen him. That really threw him. And Philip saith unto him, Lord, show us the Father, and it sufficeth us. And Jesus saith unto him, have I been so long with you, and yet hast thou not known me? Philip, he that has seen me hath seen the Father. And how sayest thou then, show us the Father? I and my Father are one. We're God. Wow. Chapter 20. Do that a little more. Chapter 14, verse 20. 14 and 20, in that day you shall know, the day of the church, Acts chapter 2, at that day you shall know that I am in my Father, and you are in me, and I am in you. A relationship. And he that hath my commandments and keepeth them, he it is that loveth me. He that loveth me shall be loved of my Father, and I will love him and will manifest myself to him. Sliding over to verse 23. And Jesus answered and said unto him, if a man love me, he will keep my words, and my Father will love him, and we will come unto him and make our abode with him. Wow. That's okay. You have a Father, Son, with God. It's God. Chapter 20. And chapter 20, after his resurrection. And you know they didn't believe, it says in Mark 16. But here, the Gospel of John, chapter 20, picking up, please, in verse 27. Well, verse 26. And after 8 days, again his disciples were within, and Thomas with them. Then came Jesus, the doors being shut, and stood in the midst, and said, peace be unto you. Then said he to Thomas, reach hither thy finger, and behold my hands. Reach hither thy hand, and thrust it into my side. And be not faithless, but be believing. Believe me. I had to go to the cross and die to make possible the gift. You couldn't have the gift of life. You couldn't know me if I didn't go and die on the cross. It's a gift to you. Who is the gift? I am the gift. I am the gift. It isn't something I hand to you. I am the gift. I am the gift. What do you mean? God said, I am the gift for you to know and show who I am in an awesome way. God, right now, we're in his presence. And you can't be more in his presence ever than you are now. The difference will be that you'll be in a different realm to know it. In the meantime, without faith, it's impossible to please. Because we can't handle you, God. We can't see, touch, taste, smell. No, you can't. But I'm helping you understand that I am. And you're going to have to believe. That's why I gave my word. That's why my Son went to the cross and died. So the Spirit of God could do a wonderful thing in your heart and help you to know the invisible God in a very awesome way. Moses, what did you do? You are there next in line to be a in the line of Pharaoh, perhaps, even that much. But what'd you do? You threw away all of that high-ranking privilege to what? You saw the invisible God, and you trusted him. But he couldn't see him now. Moses said, I couldn't, but I knew he was. I knew he was. I met him at the burning bush. I knew he was. Now, so, chapter 20 again. Chapter 20, Thomas, verse 28. Thomas answered and said, my Lord and my God. My Lord and my God. Jesus saith unto him, Thomas, because thou hast seen me and hast believed, blessed are they that have not seen. And they believe, right? To believe, because you can't see. No, you can't. I told you can't. You aren't going to see. You're going to have to go by faith. Oh, I'm not going by faith. Ah, but that's the only way. The only way. How do you think they invented electricity and science? How do you think they got GPS up there and all that? I'm not going to believe. You got to have wonderful access to the laws of science and math and everything else to electronically to transfer everybody right now can talk to the GOP. Everyone can go and talk. And that's going to answer every one of you where you are. Now, how can that possibly be? And it can answer anyone in the world where they are right now. You can't see it, can't smell it, but boy, does it exist. By the way, I can't see you, and you can't see me. I can only see the body you live in. That's all I can see. Take away the body, I can't see you. No, I can't. I can't. God, you put a body on, a body thou hast prepared for me, so that you can stand in front of us and say, I am that I am. I'm going to go to the cross, and you're going to know. There's no question. Did you die? You died very public. You were crucified. We all know that. And you rose again. That's correct. So what? You could understand that I can now have a unique relationship with you in a most marvelous way. Over to the book of Galatians. And remember, we did this the other day, Galatians chapter 1. Here's Paul's testimony. And chapter, Galatians 1, verse 12. For I neither received it of man, well, remember the Damascus Road, Acts chapter 9. For I neither received it of man, neither was I taught it, but by the revelation of Jesus Christ. Okay, sliding down, verse 16. To reveal, to reveal his Son in me. That purpose I might preach him among the heathen. Immediately I conferred not with flesh and blood, and God dealt with my heart. God let himself be known. Verse 16, he revealed his Son, John 1:14. At 1:12, as many as received him, to them gave he the right, the power, the privilege to become children of God. Verse 24, and the believers, not the unbelievers, the believers, when they I'll read it. Verse 23, but they that had heard only that he was persecuted us in time past, now preacheth the faith, the body of truth to be believed, which once he destroyed, and they glorified God in me. Yeah, no one's got it wrong. They don't have it wrong. The system has it wrong. Because we can't conceive that it's true that God is in you of a truth, or you're not saved. God is in you. You have a relationship by way of Christ that God could possess you. Otherwise, you're not saved. Is that unbelief? But then you aren't saved. Pretty simple. The Jesus you have is the wrong kind. Now, over if I can, chapter 4. And in chapter 4, picking up wonderfully, what does God do when Christ died, was born and died? Chapter 4, Galatians, verse 4. When the fullness of time was come, God sent forth his Son, born in Bethlehem of Judea, made of a woman. She provided the natural, full humanity of a human being. Made of a woman, a body thou hast prepared for me. Made under the law. What for? To redeem them that were under the law, that we might receive the adoption, to be placed as full sons, children, sons. Because, verse 6, you are sons, and God hath sent forth the Spirit of his Son into your heart, crying, Abba, Father. You have a unique relationship to God, personally, to see you. You know him, and to see you is to see a saved person, because you can't see a saved person without coming to grips with God. So therefore, chapter 4, verse 19, what was the cry? Little children, that's us believers, little children, of whom I travail in birth again until Christ be formed in you. To what? To change us. To change it, Christ in you, to change you. You ought to be enjoying, as a son, as a child of God, you ought to be enjoying as a child of God, the Father, God himself, in his awesome, awesome person, in an awesome, awesome way, to know God himself. Now, in closing, over to 1 John. And we'll do it again. John, now 1 John, I'm picking up, please. I'm picking up 1 John chapter 5, may I go to verse 11. This is the record that God hath given to us eternal life. Where is that? And this life is in his Son. He that hath the Son hath life. He that hath not the Son of God hath not life. These things have I written unto you that believe on the name of the Son of God. John 1:14, the Word became flesh. And that, verse 13, that purpose, you may know that you have eternal life, and that you may believe on the name of the Son of God, that you have a unique relationship to God. Wow, how unique, sliding down. Verse 20, we know, 5:20, 1 John, and we know that the Son of God is come. When we see him, he that hath the Son hath life, verse 12, and hath given unto us an understanding. What are we supposed to be understanding? We're supposed to be knowing. That's what we're trying to understand, that we may know him that is true. And you are in him that is true, even in his Son, Jesus Christ. Ah, this is the true God and eternal life. When you receive Christ, you receive God. How are you going to have Christ without God? You can't have Christ without God. That's why John 17:3, eternal life is what? To know thee, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom thou hast sent. That's what eternal life is, to know God. Not Jesus here and gone somewhere else, and Jesus did this, and if you don't put this, do you understand why that's why people aren't saved? Because it's too wonderful. It's too big and too wonderful to be saved like that. Isn't it? Yeah, that's what it is. I can't believe that. Then what do you believe? What do you really believe? See? There are not many saved. It's just too wonderful to be saved, isn't it? It's too wonderful. It's awesome to be saved. Yeah. That's why he said, Hebrews 11:6, you got a whole chapter of people. How did Samson do it? How did any of them do it? Without faith. It's impossible to please me. It's impossible to please me. But if you're going to come to me, said God, you got to believe that I am. You got to believe that I am. Well, who are you? I am he said. Huh. And you say, well, what kind of Christmas message is that? That is the Christmas message. The rest of it's an illusion. And Merry Christmas will be all gone pretty quick. So you better say it. You got 3 or 4 days to say it, and then you're done. You're done. It isn't about you or me. It's about him making possible his awesome life in your life forever. That's what it means to be saved. That's Christmas message. I know it. Yeah. You can go away and keep, well, you didn't tell us anything about the little baby wrapped in swaddling clothes. No, I didn't. No, I didn't. Because you ought to know that one. You got to get past the swaddling clothes. I got to quit. You got the idea. Our Father and God, we thank you. Thank you for loving us. Thank you for caring. Thank you for dying. Thank you, God. You're awesome. We're in your... You just got to help us, God. We don't have to go 2 inches, God. You're right here. So, God, in quietness and confidence, in returning and rest, shall you be saved. And in quietness and confidence, you'll be strong. God, we can only bow the head and the heart. It's beyond us. Wonderfully, wonderfully out of our reach to possess that which you have placed in our little old heart to know you. So God, thanks a lot. And for those who know you not, God, convict, convince them. God, make them miserable that they might truly get saved. And our Father will thank you in Christ's name. Amen. Thank you.